Okay, let's get this road on the show. And we're going to have a little background noise with the rain because it's just the way it is. Okay. Wow. Listen to the rhythm of the falling rain. Pitter patter.
Know the Source on One Radio Network.
Sorry, I had to go close some windows. Ran downstairs, close some windows, because it just started raining like moments before. Whoa. Okay, here we are. Got my burst exercise for the morning. Good morning. This is OneRadioNetwork.com. Patrick Timpone. The only radio show that closes their windows during the theme song. So we do it here, folks. Get your burst exercise. Paleo chocolate cake here for breakfast that I'm still working on. And Adam Bergstrom is here. It is the first Monday of the month, September 4, 2018. OneRadioNetwork.com. We got a great week for you. Adam is the author of Yes, No, Maybe, Chronobiotic Nutrition, co-author. And he mans up with, along with Vibrant Gal, two websites, SunSync Nutrition and SolarTiming.com. Eating on time. He doesn't kind of talk too much about what to eat. It's pretty much like what time to eat. And then that's just his kind of basic go-to thing. And then from there, he's expanded off to just mountains and mountains and mountains of research. He's a little research monster. And Adam, good morning, and welcome to the rainy Central Texas.
Good morning. That's great. I wish we could get some of that rain here.
You guys have been dry there as well.
Pretty dry. And now they're going to use purple water. They're going to put outright toilet water into the aquifer. Not even gray.
Oh, so there's a difference between gray water and purple water?
Purple water, that's the worst. So they're going to water all the parks and everything with purple water. And then they're going to put it into the aquifer, too.
Now, we know gray water. Gray water is the idea that people oftentimes plumb, especially in the country, you can plumb your home so the sinks, bathtub, what is it? Just sinks and bathtub, I guess. They go out a special thing, and that's called gray water. And if you use a non-toxic soap, you can use that to water your plants. It's called gray water. Black water would be out of your toilet, and you don't want to do that, right? So what's purple water?
You know, it must be somewhere in between. It's the first time I heard the term in the Montecito Journal this week.
They call it purple. Maybe they're just talking gray.
No, they definitely refer to gray in all their other articles. Okay. It's things now. It's in the papers over and over. There, all the water problems and getting ready, and also getting ready for the flooding. If the Pineapple Express comes here, they're going to put giant hair nets on the hills to protect us from the boulders rolling down.
Only in California, man, you do that.
Burning or quaking, you know. Yeah.
I want to get you a little bit closer to the mic. Can we do that? Because you're kind of...
Oh, yeah. Okay, how's that?
You're kind of fading out a little bit, so don't want you to fade out. You never received that microphone, did you? Sharon was going to send you a really nice mic, and I think she still has it up there. You never received that?
No.
Okay, we have an extra big microphone Well, all right. She's got it in a box, and she's going to send it to you, you guys. You can hire Vibrant Gal to hook it up, because she'll figure it out.
She knows how to do all that stuff.
Really? Well, you know what? This is the first time I'm mentioning this on the air, but by next month, we're gonna be video, man.
All righty.
So get ready.
Okay, I'm ready.
Get ready. You may have to, you know, change your shirt, but it'll be a red shirt, but change your shirt before the show.
That's
and
right.
I guess I'm going to have to shave. How boring, but I can do it.
And this is Orange Day, and I couldn't even find my orange shirt today.
Oh, that's right. It's orange because it's Tuesday.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I got put red on. I got the wrong color. I thought it was Monday.
I'm just doing it on Monday.
That's right. Oh, my God. I need to go down and find an orange one.
Yeah, and I couldn't find. We're still missing some clothes from the evacuation. We don't know where the heck it is.
Yeah, really.
We still have the TV set in the car.
You guys, you little pack rats. We're going to do the video thing. Got somebody helping me. Ken Roller's kind of been helping me too. He's quite a good geek, and we're going to figure out how to stream it live during the show, and then also have audio. Then we'll have all the shows up on YouTube. And we got a split screen thing, and so, you know, I think it's going to be fun. Let people see us, and, you know, if I'm writing a book, it takes a long time to get young. I guess I have to show people if I'm young or old, right?
There you go. You are, so that's great.
It's great.
How are your splits coming, by the way?
My splits are doing well, thank you. You've heard me talking with Dr. Jennifer Daniels.
Oh. Yeah.
Do you know that one where you do the plow, Adam, you know, the classic plow, right? You do a shoulder stand, and then you take your feet and you go all the way back, right, straight. And a Vibrant Gal's known, you know, of course. And then you have your toes on the ground, and then you take your little feetsies and you curl them up next to your head, so your knees are like right, not right against your ears, right?
Yep.
Now, what is that called? That's like, I don't know.
I'm not sure. I used to be able to do that. It's been a long time, though.
Yeah, I can do that. I'm about a quarter inch, maybe half inch away from the floor. I want to wait till I get my shins totally flat, you know, on the floor. And then I'm going to send Dr. Daniels a picture and challenge her to that one. She challenged me to the splits, right? So I'm still working on that. Can Vibrant Gal do that whole plow thing? Does she do that whole thing?
She's nodding yes.
Does she really? God.
Yeah, she can. Nice. She's been doing yoga a long time.
Yeah.
From 80s.
Yeah. From the
70s. No, I'm corrected. 70s.
70s, yeah. I started Vibrant Gal in 80 when I first time I saw the gal on PBS 1980. I remember the morning. Turned it on. Yeah, I remember her, Lilius Yoga and You. And I said, well, I'll start doing this. And I did. I went down there every morning on the living room and just start doing it. I don't know. I didn't even think about it. It was crazy.
Oh, right.
But you did it for a long time. I guess you talked about it, huh?
She took it in the 70s. I started in the 70s, too, and because I had a girlfriend that was a yoga teacher, so then I started doing yoga.
It's always about a girl, dude.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah, I fell madly for my yoga teacher about 10 years ago, and we had a fun relationship, and really, she taught me so much stuff. It was so nice having her around, and she's amazing. This gal would just do every day, like probably an hour and a half, and I just couldn't, you know, I mean, just such focus, and just so limber, just crazy limber. What does that really do overall, big picture, for the body when we are just that limber? I mean, the yogis say that's really one of the... I guess the big factor in aging, right? How flexible your spine is?
Definitely. And also, your internal organs are neglected in workouts. And they're designed specifically to work on certain vertebra and certain organs. So.
Oh, you mean so it's the Pa Da La Jing idea that I still do where you're stretching that kind of thing and you're stretching out the meridians or even more
exactly.
than that? Even more than that?
Well, the meridians actually then affect the organs, but so do other reflex points and lymphatic points and cranial points, all of those actually have effects on the meridians and the way you flex your spine.
Yeah.
I used to have charts of what each pose, what cervicals or what lumbars or what thoracic vertebrae or the sacrum, et cetera, and which ones specifically they work. And wish I had a copy of that book these days.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had to find good information on that.
I've never seen that one. So I guess in theory, then, the more we do that, the whole subluxation thing, chiropractic work, does that bypass that? I mean, just keeping these babies flexible should keep away any kind of, does it keep away of any need to do a chiropractor?
Oh, yeah, it does.
Does it?
Donald Lay called it autopractic. You can do it yourself. Yeah, holding your neck one way versus the other way over a prolonged period of time. By that, I mean a couple of minutes, you know, can actually make a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when you do it longer times, like I had mastered the shoulder stand, my record was 1 hour and 11 minutes.
I know, you told me that. That's crazy. So you were up there for an hour. So, folks, if you just want to Google or a DuckDuckGo, we got to change the words. If you were on a DuckDuckGo, shoulder stand, and you could probably see a picture of that if you want to see what that looks like. And you did that over an hour. What was the reason you did that other than you're crazy?
You know, I was at a Sufi camp. Yeah. I called it Sufi boot camp for 6 weeks, and we kept doing these exercises, and I found I could do it a long time. So our Sufi teacher had us do it an hour. And instead of continuing with the regular exercises, I was so fascinated that I could make it an hour. I decided to see how longer I could do it.
Yeah.
And it was easy to go that long.
Someone said, or I read, that the shoulder stand is a really nice pose to keep the thyroid happy.
Definitely. Very good for the thyroid. And also, if you look in iridology, you'll see that there's actually debris is at the bottom of the iris, and there's like a foam on the top. Well, you reverse that by being upside down, where that kind of turns around. Your iris looks more like when you make clarified butter. You know, you get foam on top, and you get debris on the bottom. Well, because we're standing up all the time and not on our heads, that often appears as an arcus senilis, they call it, meaning an old age line on the top of the eyes and other bottom.
Yeah. And then just in youth and in general, I mean, it's just great. It's just great for your face to have all that circulation and turning upside down. You know, it just makes sense. You know, you don't crinkle up, you know.
Definitely. And I did most of that shoulder stand was done with my hands at my side.
You weren't holding up your hips?
No, I was holding my hands up, you know, to my knees, touching my knees while I was doing it.
Oh, touching your knees, yeah, wow.
And then you have the other way. You put your hands behind you, you know, so yeah. I'd come down occasionally.
Yeah.
But I kept it up that long. Then you can do various variations of that. I used to practice where you could lean forward, you know, at a 45-degree angle on that and go to the side and also do bicycles and things like that if you wanted to.
Yeah. I think the what you had told me, 6 months ago when I was going through my great stomach reset. So yeah, the colon reset and the stomach reset. Now what am I going to do? Oh man, am I going to start on another one? Anyway, when I went through that thing and the whole heartburn, and it really helped me to move it a lot and rebound and do the Qigong and do a lot of different yoga things I found for gastritis, kind of inflammation. And boy, when you move it around and everything, it just feels like the body is just more willing to heal. Right, when you're giving it energy and circulation and love and attention.
Flexibility, you know, we get locked into a certain small amount of movements in our bodies, much less than we think. So when I had a Sufi teacher named Adnan Sarhan, he beat the drum and said, make as many movements as you can to the drum beat. And I noticed that most people were limited to as much little as 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 movements, but each one had a different movement that was programmed by their brain.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried things like throwing myself on the ground and everything, but I was confined to so many movements too. The more movements we have, the more flexibility we have, and the more organ nuances we have for health.
Well, so that's why you had suggested if you do this kind of free flow dancing, or just like a kid would do, you hear some music and you just kind of go nuts, you know, just, you know, I've done that on the Rebounder, you know, and it's really fun. You're making faces and you're doing this, and Doodle looks at me like I'm crazy, of course, but it's, there's something magical about that, moving all these different body parts in different ways that you don't normally do.
True. Adnan Sarhan would have us do exercises like pretend you're a kite being blown around by gusts of air.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then pretend you're up to your chest in water and the waves are coming in and you're moving that way. All different visualizations to get you to move your body in ways you're not accustomed to moving in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I suspect that all of these movements we make, whether it's going up the stairs, whatever, opening the fridge, going to the bathroom, whatever, they become subconscious, right? Because then we can have the conscious mind do other stuff, you know, like whatever. And they all become subconscious, like driving. And if we're not aware, then we just keep doing those same movements, right? I mean, isn't that how the subconscious works?
And some of it is a problem. I've probably told you the story of I was at Texas Institute of Reflex Sciences with Adnan, and I raised my hand and said, I have a problem. When I clench my right foot, the middle toe won't go down. So he said, come up here. So I came up front, and he said, turn sideways to the class and raise your arm. I raised my arm. He said, who told you to raise your arm that way? I said, what do you mean? I'm just raising my arm. He said, put it down and raise it again. So I did. And he said, who told you to raise it that way? And I was raising it forward. And I said, well, how am I supposed to raise it? So he took my hand and he put it over my head to the side three times and said, now clench your foot. And my toe went completely down.
Really? What was that about?
Well, he said that we usually go movement for movement with a beta wave replacing a beta wave. But if you take an alpha wave, which is a learning wave, and move, put in more mental flexibility into it, different options, then you get rid of the injury. But if you do it before the injury, you don't get the injury in the first place. In other words, I raised my arm forward. I could have raised it backwards, sideways. There's hundreds of ways I could have raised it, but by habit, I raised it forward. And many people have pain that way. You know, they say my arm hurts when I raise it, and they keep raising it in the exact same way.
Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah.
And get the same result, and it doesn't get rest. But if you go the other ways and allow it to rest, but we tend to want to test it. Does that still hurt? Does that still hurt? And keep pushing on it and then irritating it.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I guess, on a spiritual level, kind of like what we do oftentimes with life, right? People say the same things, pick the same boyfriends, you know, that kind of thing, over and over and over again, just because it's what they do.
Gurdjieff called it moving center, and he said it had a place in our body. Like when you type, you don't want to do it consciously because it slows you down considerably.
Right, yeah.
As long as you've got the typewriter there. But when we apply that to our emotions, to our words like liberal, conservative, mm-hmm. black, white, race, whatever, then we get into trouble because we don't have a choice at that point. We've turned it over to the autonomic nervous system, and it's just doing its job, but often it does a really bad job. Well, the selection of what we have chosen it to do is where the problem is. It's with the conscious nervous system.
So what you're talking about is without knowing it, most of us have spent our lives coming from the reactive mind or the subconscious or just this thing called mind that is really the ego, and it's just kind of on autopilot. And folks, and you know, we've all spent our life doing this, most of us, just repeat stuff, but we're not really conscious of moving our arm another way or actually consciously thinking of, I wonder if that's true.
It's why at one time you didn't find many Buddhists in the United States or many Christians in China until you got missionaries, you know, because by habit they became whatever it was. And this, of course, goes in education. If you're programmed one way, you're going to learn one way, and you lose the option to learn other things. The actual fact blocks the research into further facts.
Oh, you mean just subconsciously and knowing this is what, you know, people say, no, it's this way or it's that way. It's just a programming.
Even now, in medicine goes on and on about the sodium pump and the potassium pump. Well, it turns out there's no pump, but yet you see people explaining his pump. Anyone who studies structured water will learn that the whole cell is a receptor. There is no individual receptor. Dr. Niebuhr and all these other doctors were wrong because there's no receptors except the entire cell, and there's no double-layered membrane protecting the cell. It's all was a fiction and was passed on from doctor to doctor and from school to school, and here we're stuck with it still, even though it's been disproven, golly, by Gilbert Ling and others about 30 years ago, and we're still stuck with it.
So what's our takeaway from that as far as our listeners and their health, with the way you just described the cell? What's our takeaway in some where we could use that information to our benefit?
Well, in other words, the receptor theory of how we think it works is not how it works. And how that affects us is don't believe the research when it says, for instance, estrogen has a receptor, is what they teach us.
Right.
That means that since it has a receptor, it's not going to go to other places in the cell, so you can't get cancer from it. Well, that's not true. Their whole cell is the receptor. So, yes, you can get cancer from it. And estrogen is not a sexual hormone like they tell us. It's an omni-hormone. It works on multiple levels, and that's why it can be dangerous to take it as a supplement or a drug.
Or even the creamies. You don't like the little estrogen creams and all that stuff. You believe that's counterproductive?
Yes, because they used to tell us, well, that goes only to the sexual receptors because there's a receptor that's separate for estrogen, a separate one for testosterone, a separate one for progesterone, etc. That's not true. The entire cell takes it in, so it's not fed into like a key going into a lock. It's like the door is open.
So is that why it's, in your opinion, you don't want to take these things even as the yams and all that because it's going all kinds of different places and not just doing what they think it's doing?
Exactly. And in the same way that estrogen is necessary, it's a stress hormone. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying you don't need cortisol. You die without cortisol and estrogen. But I'm not going to go to Whole Foods and say, could I have a cortisol supplement, please?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can get that by getting a telephone call that I just lost some money or that the IRS is after me. I can get plenty of cholesterol and histamine and nitric oxide.
All kinds of stuff. Yeah, you get all kinds of stuff with that.
But they tell us that estrogen is a female hormone. It's anything but. Males have just as much of it as females do. And the only time a female has more estrogen when it's needed is during childbirth, which is a stress on the human body. If males were going to produce a child, they would have it. And how come if it stops bone loss, men don't have any estrogen and they keep all their bones and it's the women that are losing their bones? Why? Because of estrogen, exactly the opposite of what the estrogen people tell us.
Because they have more estrogen, and that's why there's more this bone loss and hip people breaking their hips for gals than guys.
Yep. Well, first they told us estrogen was for birth control. Then they told us it was for births. How can it be for both? Because it is, because it's for everything.
What about folks who have conjectured that guys shouldn't eat beans because they're too estrogenic?
You know, I study people who hang around a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And The turbine tornado is 107 years old, runs 7 miles a day. He used to run 25 miles a day and was the torch carrier at the 2000 Olympics. And he's still running today, has a closet full of suits, sees the ladies, and he's 107. He eats lots of dal, which is beans.
That would be a legume, right? A dal is a legume, right?
Yes. Now, if you ate nothing but beans and ate them at the wrong time, like anything else, it would be imbalanced. But there are other things in a bean besides estrogen. It's when people, besides polyunsaturated fatty acids, it's when you separate it from the food, like a food might have 1,000 or 2,000 items, and you take one thing out and take it and think that's balancing you, when it puts the other things in that food out of balance by hundreds. And of course, that's the pharmaceutical way. There's receptors, so we can take this out of here, we can take DH out of here, we can take estrogen out of here, we can take magnesium out of here, and there won't be any consequences. And of course, nature says, what the heck are you doing? I've spent millennia designing this food for your health with 2,000 balanced ingredients, and you're going to sell a vitamin pill with about 20 little ingredients down at the bottom and say that it's the same as I produced over millennia? Well, guess what? We are in the stone age of chemistry, and in 100 years from now, when they read what we're doing, they will be laughing. Except they'll be hiding it, you know, like there's more accurate information 100 years ago than there is now. For instance, doctors don't even know that the adrenal gland is in the skin. It's not on top of the kidney in a little pyramid hat, confined in that little place. It's actually in the skin.
Huh. So how do we, what we're good, so just being out in the sun is a good thing for our adrenals, I guess?
That's right. I just wrote the latest blog about it on One Radio Network.
Cool. About the adrenals in the skin?
About the adrenals in the skin and how it's the sympathetic nervous system that receives the light, not the parasympathetic nervous system. We cannot make cholesterol without the sympathetic nervous system. We cannot make testosterone, vitamin D, all of those things. The skin is completely sympathetic.
Sympathetic.
That's why they called it orthosympathetic. Orthosympathetic and parasympathetic. Para was meaning it's the brake pedal, and the car, the gas pedal, is the sympathetic nervous system. You can get along with just a car and no brakes if you have an anchor and you have clever ways of doing it, but having a brake without a car is useless.
Yeah, because you can run into something.
Yep. Yeah. You can throw an anchor.
So I guess that's why the sun is not out at night when we want to become more para.
Yep. So exactly. Parasympathetic is at night, except when we dream. We dream in the sympathetic nervous system. That's why it's called paradoxical sleep. In fact, the unusual thing is you can't dream without an erection, which is exactly the opposite. When you're awake, you need the parasympathetic nervous system to have an erection, but when you're dreaming, you can't dream without a sympathetic reaction.
Oh, so that's the connection between having an erection and in the dream state.
Yeah, because you're going places. If you're going to soul travel, you can't soul travel by eating. You have to be traveling, and that requires motion and muscle movement, and that requires the sympathetic nervous system. Now, for a soul travel, your muscles are paralyzed. Otherwise, your body would be going along with you or trying to take the ride with you.
Kind of tough to do that. Yeah, kind of.
So normally, when your sympathetic nervous system is active, it all goes into the muscles, out of the gut and out of the fat. But at night, it's opposite because you have to paralyze a lot of the body so that the other body, I'm putting that in quotation marks, can fly without encumbrances.
Encumbrances. Well, good morning. Adam Bergstrom is here, as you can hear. He's a fun guy to talk to. And why don't you join the show with something that you'd like to ask or participate or whatever? It is Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. Also, you can use the telephone. Nobody does that anymore because everybody texts and stuff. But, you know, you still might remember how to dial. And that's 888-663-6386. 888-663-6386. Well, it's beginning the time. I mean, I think we've dropped about 10 degrees since the rain started a few days ago, from 100 to 90. I think it would be middle 80s today. So maybe fall has fell around here. I did a sauna last night and pretty much have been doing it every day all summer long, even when it was 100. Because once you get in there, I mean, it doesn't matter if it's 100 outside, but you'll be more kind of inclined to get in the sauna if it's 40, 50, 50 degrees outside, right? And then once you get real cold, then you're going to be loving to jump in there a lot just to warm up. That's really fun, too. These are great saunas that we have. So maybe think about getting one. You've heard me talk about it for many years. I think we've had this one 9 years or so. And still runs like a champ. It's very quiet, very low EMFs. You sit in it and just put a towel over the chair, change out the towel every few days and wash it and put another towel up there. And it's very comfy. Your head sticks out, so you don't want to be a hothead. As Adam said, you want to have a cool head and a hot booty. You don't want to do a hot head. Ayurveda medicine, I know that I've studied off and on, you know, for years. They're always cautioned against going into too hot of saunas or steam baths and get your head hot. They don't like that. You know, it's just not good for the brain. Now, every now and then, like last night, I put some castor oil on my face for fun and dip my head underneath there for about 5 minutes and 5 or 10 minutes, and that's not going to be a problem. But you just don't want to do that every day and have that head, you know, the head at 150 or however. It gets pretty hot in there. It's just not good for your brain, I don't think. So you have your head out there, and it's pretty comfy, very comfy, and you have a timer. So if you fall asleep or you start soul traveling like I used to do, and the body just hangs out there, and you're fine. And you can get a special price just by emailing me, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. We're not allowed to put this price on the website in print, but we can do it orally here on our live show and podcast. And it's $9.95 in the lower 48, and very easy to get them any place else as well. So don't be dissuaded by, well, I live in Canada or I live in England or Scotland or somewhere. You'd be surprised how inexpensively we can get it to you, regardless of where you are. With the proper plug, too. We ship them all over the world, and they're very easy to do. Not complicated at all. Just email me, and I'll take good care of you. Give you the best price ever. Patrick@oneradionetwork.com for the Relax Far Infrared Sauna. Recently on Open Phones, Bridget from Florida called, said that she ordered some of Wayne Blakely's Living Streams products. Through the links on One Radio Network, we joined the conversation.
And all of that, I got three of his products, and I've only been doing it, I don't know if I've been doing it 3 weeks yet. OMG, it's awesome, awesome. It's bringing me back. It's doing something, good stuff.
Oh, good for you. Thanks for trying our recommendations. Yeah, there's some real subtle things going on with all these products that I'm blown away by. Yeah, really.
Yeah, and also my elimination, which wasn't bad, but now it's just whoosh. You know, it's great.
Whoosh? Can I quote you on that? Is it whooshing?
Totally, like, yeah. You know, no.
Oh, that's hilarious. Well, I don't know if we can guarantee whooshing for you, but certainly when you get these probies down in there in the small intestine, which you can with Bifido-2, and the large intestines with the Living Streams Multi-Blend and all the other ones, things will move. Whooshing? Well, we'll see. Click and order Living Streams, any link in the store on OneRadioNetwork.com. Well, as you know, I've been playing around with a lot of things the last 2 years on the whole tummy thing that I created, but I think the Living Streams have been a nice adjunct to that to help me get to where I am today. Things are really happy down there. I have to still be careful what I eat. Things, you know, change in your body, real careful. My body likes certain things at a certain time, and I have sure seen even more clearly how eating on time, my body, you know, it's so grateful to have this knowledge that Adam has taught us, and I really follow it more now than I ever have. I mean, it's pretty important stuff. So, you know, you might want to get his book or go on Adam's website, Sunsink Nutrition, and join up for $99, lifetime thing, and then also solartiming.com and get some of his books and learn about eating on time and all the ins and outs of it. And there's magical things to it. But these living streams things back to them. Well, my basic thing is I do the multi-blend in water almost every meal because I like to drink water with meals. Works better. It works good for me. And then the Bifido I put in there too as well. And then the living minerals, I'll put that in our drinking water for Doodle and I when we structure our water so we get some more minerals in there. And those are the three basic ones. And then you can stretch out into all kinds of things like moringa, alfalfa. Moringa is super, super high in selenium. And guys, selenium is really nice for things south of the border if you're wanting to build up that area. That is the moringa, very high. And alfalfa is a great food as well in the probiotic. And then we have that's about it for now. Just I'll leave it at that. And you can call Marilyn at 360-912-2981. She can explain some of the other cool things that these products do. And they all have a little specific thing that they're working with. I know that the Bifido has the yttrium, which is a critical nutrient that is mostly in Indian soils. That's in India. It's far away. That's why he puts a curcumin in there from the turmeric. Anyway, call Marilyn, 360-912-2981, 360-912-2981. And after you talk to her or talk to Wayne, she'll give you Wayne's number too. Then you can just please order from our website. That way we'll get a commission on the deal. Previously with Brandon Amalani of Shen Blossom, talking about our very special ginseng.
And you don't want something that's been corrupted coming into your body. Like the ginseng is a super important example of that. You know, when you're using aggressive alcohols and solvents, it has a strange effect with ginseng in the sense that when you're not only over processing it, but putting it in really aggressive alcohols, what's going to happen is that you're going to flip the chemistry on some of the androgenic. Naturally, it's androgenic. It's going to basically protect the telomeres and add life to the body and protect the genetic replication of the cells. But it's also going to boost the androgens and boost the male hormones in the body. But if you incubate it in really aggressive alcohol, it flips those to become estrogenic. Now, estrogens, phytoestrogens, are not necessarily bad in balance, but you really don't want that with your ginseng, especially if you're getting like a really high quality, a really old root, something that's very special. You want to like treat it with care and make sure it's delivering what ginseng has to offer.
Just a short clip from Brandon talking about the way they do the ginseng, just to give you a better idea of where this company is coming from, the quality and the ethics. Brandon and the Shen Blossom link on OneRadioNetwork.com. That would be us. Well, good morning. It's September 4, 2018, with Adam Bergstrom on OneRadioNetwork.com. I was mentioning to Adam right before the show, I was just feeling like something really soft and gooey and sweet, so I had a piece of paleo cake, and I mentioned to him that it's made out of, the pharmacy makes it. It's just great. Let's see, it's grass-fed butter and organic cacao chocolate, and then cage-free eggs and a little bit of coffee in there, a little flavor. I think some vanilla. And I was mentioning to you, Adam, that I said 2 out of 3 is pretty good because three out of four, coffee, chocolate, and our morning, right? And then the butter is kind of a neutral. And then I was thinking, well, the eggs is more nighttime. But you're saying that, what'd you tell me before the show?
Well, the amount of eggs that you eat in the morning doesn't have any toxic reaction whatsoever. It's just that it's more active reaction to work on your genitals and other important parts and the liver is at nighttime.
Oh.
But going to be a problem at that time. And indeed, there are people who practice sun-synced nutrition who try to avoid those eggs at various times and use substitutes for making their pies. And it's totally unnecessary. A little bit of egg like that is beneficial and has no consequence whatsoever that I know about.
Oh, so egg is a pretty universal kind of a thing, like olive oil, butter. What are some of the other ones that are white? Is it rice? White rice?
Kind of? Rice is. See, young foods, it's like a baby doesn't care where the sun is. That gets enhanced as you go out in the sun. Then pretty soon you go on a 24-hour cycle. A baby, as any mother and father of a newborn can say, knows that that baby doesn't care what time it is of the day. They cry every 2 hours. A healthy baby will cry every 2 hours to
feed
be fed.
Me. Yeah, feed me, right?
Yeah, and that's an acupuncture times 2 hours. But if they cry more, then there can be a problem. So you can actually synchronize that. But they are on the stomach clock, which is tied into the uterus of a woman. And that evolves from the third chakra to the fourth chakra, where we have something interesting called a thymus gland.
Thymus?
That's exactly what it is. Yeah, that's where the timing comes. So by the time we get to there, we get conditioned to light. And of course, ultimately, we want to get past light. And what sun-synced eating does is synchronize your brain so that you can go into a sonic state and experience the audible life stream.
So you can hear the sound.
Exactly. Because in the beginning was the word, not the light.
That's correct. Yeah, yeah. That's what we're taught with our practice in Ekankar, is that, and it's been my experience too, first the light, and then you hear the sound. That's the way it's been for me. And there's some people that hear it a lot, and you know, I have my moments, and but you can really work on it and dig deep down in there. It's really kind of fun. In the beginning was the word, yeah.
Eventually, it's in the middle of the forehead, which I've met a couple of people who have it there. First, you develop it over to the right ear, because if it goes to the left ear, you tend to get high blood pressure. It's an indication. So you can control it by concentrating on it to bring it to the right ear. And once it goes to the right ear, it goes up into the forehead. Hmm. And then you don't hear it with the ears. You hear it through the third eye or the 10,000...
Petal lotus, right? Lotus,
yeah. Exactly, yeah. Which is the 10th door in other systems.
And I think that I used to know, I know the name of that. I think that's somewhere in the lower astral plane. Donwell Call Canal or something like that. I have it downstairs.
That's the name of it, yeah. Yes. Yeah. By the way, speaking of names, Karna Pita Sana. That is the name of the Nita ear pose, thanks to my co-researcher here, Vibrant Gal.
Oh, that's Karna? What? Karna?
Karna, K-A-R-N-A, Pita, P-I-D-A, Sana, S-A-N-A, like an asana.
Karna Pita Sana. Oh, that's where you're all the way back with your knees right next to your ears.
Knee to ear pose, yep. And she's nodding.
Good for her. She's our yogi consultant here, Karna Pita Sana.
She knows her stuff. She's doing it right now, in fact.
Really? That's great. It's amazing that your little body can do that and not break. You know, it's really funny. I've been having a good time, I mentioned before, really stretching the neck more than I ever have in my whole lifetime. You know, you just go down and just keep stretching and, you know, working through different sore or painful spots. And you were saying that that's a really good thing, even backwards. I know a lot of the Kairos say don't go back, but you disagree with that?
I completely disagree with that. I think you can put your body any darn place you want to. I'm a libertarian when it comes to physiology.
I wonder why. Kairos must be taught that in school.
They are taught that. And indeed, they see someone get injured that way. In the same way they used to teach you, when you do a sit-up, make sure your knees are bent. Actually, you're more vulnerable to injury that way. But why people get injured doing a sit-up with their legs out straight is they think they're lifting with their gut when they're actually lifting with your back. But if you tighten your back up when you do that, you have no problem whatsoever. It's more of a back exercise than it is an abdominal exercise. Mm-hmm. So if you know where to apply the energy, like if you throw a sudden weight to me and my bicep isn't prepared, I can it'll get injured. But if I know it's coming and I brace for it, so in a sit-up, people are bracing their abs instead of their back, and of course they're going to get injured.
Mm-hmm. Why do so many guys, it happens to guys a lot, and it's happened to me a few times in my life, where you do the whole classic bend over from the waist, you know, to lift up something like we're taught not to, rather than, and then you get that muscle cramp kind of a, what do you call that thing? You know, the lower back, and then people say, oh, my lower back is out. But it's really muscles, right? And why? And do we keep those happy? Two-part question. By keeping the psoas and the piriformis real strong?
If we exercise that muscle, we'd have no problem. So they are correct. For most people, you bend and lift with your legs rather than your back. But if you strengthen your back by doing deadlifts and various exercises and yoga, then you don't have any problems lifting any darn way you want to. But people aren't trained to use those muscles. We're trained only to use a certain amount of muscles, and the truth and health is somewhere between a contortionist and a regular person.
So those muscles, which ones are those, and how do you strengthen those?
Doing something called deadlifts, where you bend over and actually use that muscle to lift. You'd use light weights to start with, and then you continue. Deadlifts you'll find in the on YouTube now. Anything I say, you can just go and find it on YouTube.
Oh, so that's where you would bend over, and you grab the weight like a bar, but then you're bending your knees and you're deadlifting it straight up. Or is that how they do it?
Yep, and then you can also do sit-ups concentrating on your back muscles. But most people, when they do sit-ups with their legs out, they're concentrating on their abdomen.
Oh, because they want to get the abs. I see. So if you really concentrate on those muscles when you're doing this sit-up, then that'll strengthen those guys.
You strengthen the back and not the ab. It's not a very good ab exercise. It's rated as one of the lowest, as are crunches. Mm-hmm. You can do a lot of others. In fact, that gut that guys tend to get is done with the thrusting exercise, which is more like you're having sex. Mm-hmm. That's called the fire exercise, I think Larry Scott calls it, and you can get rid of your gut that way. If it's too large, that's gas in there. People blame fat. But when you see those big guys with the Dunlap disease, or the belly hung over the belt, you know?
Dunlap.
Dunlap over the belt.
Dunlap over the belt.
That's gas. You can beat it like a tom-tom. There's gas in that fat, and that's what holds it tight like that, and why it goes over the belt. Mm-hmm. Look at how many people end up with that gut, and they blame fat when it's the condition of the intestines and the fat cells themselves inflating with carbon dioxide.
My yoga gal taught me, maybe Vibra Gal knows with me, maybe she knows the word. So you're doing a shoulder stand, and you have one leg where you just fold it down to, like, you know, bend the knee, and then with your hands behind your head, you are doing your elbow, right elbow to your left knee, and that, she taught me that to do, strengthen the abdomen and to get the old, you know, six-pack kind of thing. Does she know what I'm talking about there? No?
Patrick, you're eating on time. She's doing that exercise right now.
She's doing it right now. What's that called, the Vibrant Gal? What's the name of that one?
She says she doesn't know.
She doesn't know. Oh, that's all right. But that's a cool one, guys. If you could learn that one, if you want to get the six-pack, that really works well.
Hey, we must have the view phone on here for you to see that.
I know. We're going to have to. You know, I was thinking about that as we, let me get this line here. Hold on. We'll be right with you. Stay on hold. I'm thinking once we get to video, and we'll be up and running with your split screen for us next month. I wonder if we'd be able to have you do some of the work you do with your legs and all that, and show people. I guess we could figure that out, huh, with the camera?
possible.
Yeah, yeah. We'll put Vibrant Gal on that. That'll be our job.
we may need
to get a camera that zooms and, you know what I mean, opens up and do a wide angle or something. But cameras are so cheap now. I mean, it's just crazy, you know.
Yeah, interesting. We're going into the movie business here. We're going to be start doing some how to do the unzipping movements and the light flow movements and the brain tapping movements. And
oh, good.
You can see.
This would be perfect timing then for you to get set up.
Yep.
So you have some good lights and a good camera. And I have definitely some things that Ken has sent me too that I can forward to you. He's a pretty good geek, and his videos look great, and so he might. I can share with you what I'm going to learn how to record those things too. I don't know if you guys have software to record them yet. Have you gone that far yet?
We're starting with a Mac, and we'll go from there.
Yeah. Well, there's some kind of all different kinds of software. Well, what fun! Moving on and upwards to videos, so that way then video will kill the radio star, right?
Could be. You know, I have a friend there in Austin that he shoots movies all over the world, and he's got so much equipment at his home, just regular Mac equipment that you can buy, that he colorizes the film. He can take things out of the motion pictures if he wants to and clean it up and all kinds of things like that. It's amazing work.
What's his name?
Greg Whiteley.
Would you introduce me to him?
Yeah,
I'd love to talk to him.
He's a bit of a hermit, and he's up in Idaho right now, but I'm sure I could...
Please do. Oh, so he's just traveling, but he normally lives in Austin?
Well, he has lived in Austin for years, but now he goes up to Idaho for about, let me see, as soon as the snow passes, he's back up there. And they basically run an organic farm up there, and... make jams and grow tomatoes and all kinds of things. So he's got into that. He went to a Donald school with me, by the way. He sat behind me for years, and he's the one that was kind enough to finance 6 of my trips to Hawaii.
Well, good for him. And so he's not in the video stuff anymore?
Oh, yeah. He still does that, not as much. He actually has a greater undersea library from scuba diving and won awards over Cousteau's son.
Wow. Yeah, I'd love to connect with him if you could hook me up, and especially with the Austin connection and my interest in video. I think he'd be a good contact for me. Thanks.
Yeah, he might be a good guest too.
Oh, yeah.
He does applied kinesiology, you name it, all kinds of things. So.
Speaking of guests, I think because you've been a kind of a fan, I don't know if you're a fan, if you use the word you want, but kind of like the work of the crazy pharmacist guy, he's going to be on Thursday for a couple hours. Steve.
Right.
Yeah, what's his name, Steve?
Steve, is it Martin? No,
Mitchell,
I think that's
Mitchell.
Right.
Steve Mitchell.
Mitchell,
yeah.
That's it.
So he's going to be here Thursday, so that'll be fun.
Steve the most wonderful thing is he has a copy of the Ribisi textbook, the whole 776 pages up there. I use it frequently. And anyone who wants to know about cancer should be aware of that book.
He knows a lot of stuff. Let's go to the phone here. Thanks for holding. Who's this? You're on the air. Good morning.
Yeah, this is Bill at Fredericksburg.
Hello, William.
How you doing?
We're doing good.
Hey, I just got in on the late thing about the back. My chiropractor has me do a reverse crunch where I'm laying on my back and I lift my hips up. And that has been really, really good for my very low back pain.
Excellent. That's a good exercise.
Okay. My real question was this. A 21-year-old female developed a jaundice. She's a high bilirubin count, and she's had all of the labs done, and they come back normal. She's about 2 weeks out of the hospital stay, but still jaundice. Can you recall anything from your studies on those chemicals associated maybe with vaping that could cause some form of liver damage?
Vaping is the... Has she been vaping? What is vaping?
Yeah, those fake cigarettes.
Oh, yeah.
It could, but it's not enough to explain the entire...
Go ahead, Adam. Sorry, go ahead.
It's not enough to explain the entire thing. Vaping is toxic, but there's something else in her diet or also in her thought pattern that's going to account for that. You know, some people, obviously, if everybody who vaped ended up with jaundice, there would be no vaping anymore. So most of the people get along fine and vape for a long time. Look at Dick Van Dyke, who was an alcoholic for 25 years, and he's 93 or 94 years old now, you know. So obviously we have things in our immunity gets compromised, and that's what you'd look into. Now, I look into who's the matter with the person and when's more than what. So that's what I would do through body dowsing the person, find out what the trauma is that set the thing off in the first place, the cause.
But I had another little thing. She's a pharmacy tech. And soon to try to get into pharmacy school. She's been doing that for about 2 years.
Yeah.
Is there any association with some of the stuff that she might have to handle and an individual toxic response to something? Well, I guess
that's a possibility, depending on how absorbable it is through the skin. And sometimes a pharmaceutical tech will tend to treat themselves. Like one of the sure ways to crash the liver is Tylenol. Deaths occur with Tylenol than people imagine.
Yeah. So Bill, do you think it would be good to look at the anger, a part of liver thing too?
Possible. Mm-hmm. That's possible. She seems to be happier now than she's ever been in her life.
Oh, good.
But some of the excess baggage from the past could be a factor.
Always is. Before Bill goes, Adam, what would be some basic physiological foods and or things she could help to move the jaundice thing forward, just on the physiological level?
In the morning, coconut oil.
Coconut.
For sure. In the middle of the day, tomato juice and molasses, and at nighttime, pineapple juice.
Wow.
Good. Yeah, I'm into all of that kind of stuff, but I don't do it every day myself.
Well, do the timing right. Make sure, recommend and see if she'll do it. Coconut in the morning, tomato juice and molasses midday, and pineapple at night. And that's a good thing for the liver, those three things?
Yeah, ideally, the liver is 1 to 3 in the morning is liver time. Stomach time is a 90-degree time shunt to the liver. So taking the coconut oil at stomach time from 7 to 9, taking the tomato juice and molasses at small intestine time, which is 180-degree shunt of the liver, and then taking it again at circulation 6 time, which is another shunt to the liver. You take those three things at those three times. In other words, the coconut oil at stomach time, the tomato juice and molasses at small intestine time, and at circulation 6 time or pericardium time, you take the pineapple juice.
Oh, so the tomato juice is 1 to 3, is that?
1 to 3.
1 to 3.
And circulation 6 time, 7 to 9.
7 to 9. And that works connected up with the liver. That's great.
Yep.
Tequila and the peanut butter in there?
Put some peanut butter with the pineapple would be good if you kept it to a minimum. But a little bit of peanut butter actually can supercharge the pineapple juice. Too much peanut butter can actually clog the intestines if you take too much. And many people tend to, buy those big jars of it and go through it. That's not a good idea.
Right.
Just a little dab will do.
Thank you very much. Great shows, Liz.
All right, brother. Thanks.
Thank you.
Just a little dab will do. But boy, I'll tell you what, when you have some fresh pineapple and you're taking a little bit of peanut butter, it's hard to do just one.
Whew. Very good. I've had trouble with that.
It's hard to do just one. I bet you can't eat just one. What's that commercial?
Another thing really good for the liver, by the way, is noise. That's why you have the noisiest potato chip in the world. That noise actually is very healing for the liver to hear crunches, crunching on a carrot, crunching on a potato chip, something of that nature.
John said, you all mentioned, he must be from Texas. You all mentioned beans. When is good time to eat beans? Adam didn't say. He said eating them on time. Yeah, when's beans?
1 to 3.
Good
time. Now, any time from 11:30 in the morning through about 7, but your most therapeutic time for beans, whether they be lentils or pinto beans or kidney beans or adzuki beans, is from 1 to 3.
Oh, you know, that's so funny because I didn't know that, but that's when I do the best with the beans, is in the afternoon for lunch. I just kind of, you know, because I've done a little bit at night, not a lot, you know, but it didn't work as well than when I did it for lunch. Isn't that curious? Adam, I found there's a lady friend of mine who makes the Jovial organic brown rice pasta, you know, the Jovial food lady in Italy. She cans some different kinds of Italian beans, and totally organic, and she puts them in glass. And, oh, boy, they're yummy. I just ordered 6 bottles of different kinds, and just really fun. And you can put those in a little bit of pot with maybe some, I don't know, butter, or I have a really good source of grass-fed pork, you know, thing, or beef fat. And boy, I tell you what, you don't need a lot of that. That's a pretty stout food, isn't it? It's pretty powerful food.
Yep. We just discovered black lentils. Ooh. They're really good.
Black lentils, yeah.
Little bitty pinpoint ones. We got them at a place called Lazy Acres. Probably Whole Foods has them, too.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever done a mess with kichari or kachari?
No, I haven't.
That's just where you'd add the mung dal, the split mung dal, and the rice. And you soak those together, and then you put some, little spices in there, or some vegetables, and kichari. It's an Ayurvedic thing, you know.
I've definitely done mung beans before. I used to make my own mung bean sprouts in the 69 and 70, I think, is when I started. 68, 69, somewhere around there.
Oh, the little green mung beans?
Mung bean sprouts and also the alfalfa sprouts, but the mung bean sprouts were always my favorites.
Yeah. Now, I guess the split mung dal, they don't sprout, do they? Because they've been split up, huh? I don't know.
Some of them, yeah, it depends. The best thing is put it in the water and see what happens. We're sprouting our lentils here. A vibrant gal is really a big fan of sprouting, so she won't let me eat them unless she sprouts them.
Good for her. Man, it takes a long time to get young, Vibrant Gal, you know?
I know. Helping.
Adam Bergstrom's here. Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. 888-663-6386. Email Patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. It feels like Monday, but it's a Tuesday. Put on your orange shirt. Just take off your red one. We'll wait. Oh, just kidding. Andrew Goss will be here tomorrow. Can't believe it'll be midweek tomorrow. Whew. Man. Time flies when you don't believe in it, doesn't it? And then the crazy pharmacist, Steve Mitchell, will be here next week. No, I'm sorry. He's going to be here on Thursday. Let's see. We have lots of good emails for you, but I want to bring something up. I've been quite interested. Been reading a lot about and talking to a few people. And, there could be something here with this very low dose naltrexone. And I know that you sent me an email. And have you done much research on it? Have you seen good, bad, and uglies on this thing? Or?
Well, it's a...
Tell folks what it is. You know what it is, right?
Yes, I do. It was used first as an AIDS drug before a heroin drug.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, first it was used for AIDS. And then the doctor... the doctor that took it from an AIDS drug into the heroin category started doing more research on low doses of it, down to 3 milligrams or less.
Less. Bahari, is that his name? Bahari?
Bahari, that's his name, yes. Okay. He's on Cosmic Vacation. Interesting, the three guys who did research on that are both went on Cosmic Vacation shortly thereafter for whatever reason. They started using it again for other things, heart and things like that. What I'm not a big fan of is endorphins, of course, because endorphins are part of the parasympathetic nervous system, and I think it goes too far because they can cause spinal damage. This research is out there for anybody to check out, and other problems. So,
what do you mean spinal? damaged. Have you researched what people taking it for years, or what does it say?
No, endorphins. If you generate, see, how do you get an endorphin? You lose. A winner never gets an endorphin. It's only for losers. Now, that's valuable, because if I'm in a race with 100 other competitors, 99 people are going to lose, so you better get it. But I don't want to cultivate that losing. And a lot of people cultivate the opioid reaction because they've lost. That's why we have so many drug addicts and alleys hanging out. They're not on LSD to feel good. They want to retreat, and so they get the pinpoint eyeballs. Now, those pinpoint eyeballs that you have of an opium abuser, that's what happens when you age. When you're young, you have the sympathetic nervous system, and those eyes are wide open to experience life. Oh, yeah. Boy, it's exciting. Let me go do this. Let me do that. And then look at people as they age. If a person is aging, you can tell their age by the size of their pupil and the parasympathetic nervous system. It is what kills people ultimately. Now, it's the brakes. We need brakes. Brakes prevent cancer, all kinds of things. You wouldn't drive your car without brakes. But the car is the primary thing, the sympathetic nervous system. That's why it touches every organ in the body. The parasympathetic is very localized. It handles what's in the dark. It has no connection with the external environment. You cannot get vitamin D, cholesterol, all the things from the sun and the light without it. Now, you don't have the light, then what happens? The pupil opens up in the dark because it's desperate for light. It needs as much light as it's possible to get inside the body, because we eat light as well as food. So the sympathetic nervous system is the hero and the one that makes us the healthiest. But somehow they have blamed the parasympathetic, or they've credited the parasympathetic nervous system as preventing heart disease. But on my view, it's exactly the opposite.
So,
but one of the few things I disagree with Dr. Cowan on, by the way. Other thing, I think I shared his last video on vaccinations, which was excellent.
But yeah, but he, let's see. How could he be that far off where the over sympathetic could be causing a problem? I mean, that means his whole thesis would be backwards. Is that possible? I mean, doesn't the parasympathetic, doesn't it cause more lactic acid, as he conjectures, and then can damage the heart?
Think about it. Lactic acid is going to be, if I go running, of course I'm going to make lactic acid, but how do I fling it up? It's not necessarily the sympathetic nervous system. Also, recognize that parasympathetic and sympathetic are metaphors. They're the same as saying cold, heat in Chinese medicine.
Yin and yang, right? Yin and yang.
But they don't realize they're so close to American physiology, and that they forget that they're dealing with metaphors, because they are both good and bad. So I'm not saying that the sympathetic is completely bad, but repressing one system over the other and thinking you're doing good is not anything. Now, Dr. Collins says get out in the sun. Well, if you're going out in the sun, you're activating the sympathetic nervous system, not the parasympathetic nervous system. So he's got some discrepancies in his ideas there.
I see. So, obviously it's a balance. But don't we have to want to be in more parasympathetic at night to settle down and sleep?
Yes, except when we dream. But you have to, of course, rebuild, and that's what it is. But the purpose of life is living, and you can rebuild with the with the sympathetic nervous system as well as parasympathetic. But feed and breathe. When they say feed and breathe, though, it's interesting how to make it bad, they say fight or flight. But why isn't it feed or breed? I don't see anybody feeding and breeding at the same time, or resting and digesting at the same time. Yet they put or there to deliberately put a subconscious meaning in your brain that the and is okay, but the or is conflict. The deck is stacked when it comes to medical physiology, and they do that all the time. They use medical marketing to market estrogen and all these other chemicals they say we need and we actually don't. So I have a disagreement with that. And I certainly don't think, I don't want to live without a parasympathetic nervous system, don't get me wrong, because it does digest our food and do certain things. But to say that you're just going to lower one system, lower the sympathetic or raise the parasympathetic and everything's going to be hunky-dory, I'm sorry, that's a little too simplistic for my yes, no, maybe.
Sure. I understand. So let's go back to a minute to the LDN. What I understand, what Dr. Cowan and others and are talking about with this LDN, lower low-dose naltrexone, is on a very low dose of, say, 1.5 milligrams or something. What it does is a few hours after you take it, then it shuts off the opioid receptors, which is what it does with the drug addicts on a big scale when they take 100 milligrams, right? It shuts it off.
It actually turns it on.
No. It shuts it off.
Wait a minute.
Just stay there with me. Hold on.
Okay.
This is the way it works. I'm pretty sure about this. It shuts it off for, at him at a low dose, my understanding, I may be wrong here, shuts it off for a couple of hours is all at a low dose. And then it comes back on pretty strong. And that's why people oftentimes wake up feeling really good because their endorphin things are kind of popping because the body said, oh, I've been off for a couple hours, I got to make up for it. But Cowan also says that LDN puts the cell-mediated immune system back where the vaccines screwed it up and will help to lower the antibodies, which is lowering the autoimmune response, is why people that he's used it on and other docs, they have a good response with autoimmune stuff. So does that make sense to you where it could turn it off for a couple hours?
Well, my immunity works with the sympathetic nervous system, so I don't know what immunity works with the parasympathetic nervous system.
Take away the parasympathetic and sympathetic. This is just LDN turning off the opioid receptors for a couple hours at a low dose. In the drug addicts, it turns them off totally, and that's why they keep taking drugs and it doesn't work, because they're giving 50 milligrams or 100 milligrams a day.
An opioid is an opioid, so you still get an opioid reaction from the endorphins. It's just that you don't go buy it now because you're getting it internally, but you're getting the same problem. Now, here's the benefit. If you take heroin, it doesn't damage your body. It's either health or kill. There's no in between. Like marijuana damages your body. Cocaine damages your body. Heroin doesn't damage your body. So you can be a heroin addict all of your life, and they could do this if you had the proper dose. But the street addict doesn't know what dose he's getting. Is he getting 1 milligram or 1,000,000 milligrams? They don't really know. That's why so many of them die. But many of our top surgeons have been heroin addicts because they've self-administered and know the exact amount of heroin. Heroin is not a toxic drug, but opioids by themselves, when you generate them through losing, you have that attitude of losing, and that makes endorphins. All you have to do, I guarantee you, is be in an arm wrestling contest and lose, and you get all the endorphins you want, depending on what your vested interest in it. If I do it and I say I'm just doing it for fun and have no vested interest, which is unusual in most people, then I don't get any opioid reaction at all.
Okay, it's September 14, 2018, Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com with Adam Bergstrom, and we will continue with some cool emails. We're going to do this one. We're with Daniel Vitalis from SurThrival. Is it fair to say, Daniel, that the Elk Velvet Antler could be a pro-euthanine kind of product as well as a kind of a pro-sexual kind of a product?
You know, it's a little bit of both and much more than that as well. You know, if you think about the antlers of an elk or a deer or a moose, these are the most rapidly growing mammalian tissues in nature. And they fall off every year and they regenerate the following year. In order to do that, they contain a lot of hormonal substances that cause tissues to grow really rapidly. So it's kind of like putting the youthful vigor of, you know, your prime back into your bloodstream. At the same time that it's doing that, though, it's nourishing all the joints. It's nourishing all the connective tissue of the body, keeping it elastic and juicy. So it's kind of like if you could combine a nature-based steroid with an ultra concentrated collagen rich bone broth. And if you put those two things together, that'd give you something like what elk antler does, especially in this alcohol extract, which allows you to really absorb all those hormonal substances and all those growth factors that really keep tissues youthful and elastic.
This boys and girls, you can mix this little guy, one drop each, a dropper full each of pine pollen and elk velvet antler. I like to do that under my tongue. Then I walk over to the rebounder and do a little health bounce for about 5 or 10 minutes with the little babies in there swashing around. And what a combo that is. Elk velvet, pine pollen, both from Daniel Vitalis. And guys and girls like this. A lot of stuff out there that many girls feel better when they get a little bit of testosterone. As Adam has taught us, you know, this whole idea of T's for boys and what estrogen for girls, that's just not true. I mean, it's a whole game, and we know that. So these might be some couple products that you'd like to try and get yourself some colostrum when you're there. And he's got the daylight thing, the vitamin D K2 product, and some really nice things. And he's your Thrival Link on OneRadioNetwork.com. OneRadioNetwork.com. Received this email in this morning from Elena. I've been experimenting with your organic sulfur, and it's amazing! !123. I'm interested in buying higher volumes. I'm in Canada. How does that work? Well, I'll email Elena, and I'll work out something. If she likes to get more than 4 pounds, and you can do the same. Yes, you can. But if you just want 2 pounds, just go to our website, click on the sulfur ad. So many good things have been talked about sulfur over the years, but it's something that I do fairly regularly now, and we started promoting it about 5 years ago. I like it. I'm a pretty sensitive guy, and if it wasn't doing me anything, or if I, you know, I would have let it go a long time ago, and I just don't do it because we promote it, but I like it. I think it's a nice thing for hair, skin, and nails, my little nails and hair, and man, I'm kind of slow them down. I don't have to get haircuts so often, man. It just grows. But it really is a nice product. It has an affinity with heavy metals, so that's a nice thing. And it brings oxygen all around and the body. People have found that they get a lot of relief from different cranky knees and shoulders and stuff like that with the sulfur. And I suspect it brings oxygen there, and everybody gets a little bit happier. So that's our sulfur, and you can go 3 prices, United States, Canada, worldwide. 3 prices, United States, Canada, worldwide. And then if you like more than 4 pounds, just email me. Email me, please. Patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. Back with Adam in a minute. Previously, we were talking with Brandon about the Blue Shield EMF device, and he says it goes out 90 yards in all directions.
It's an omnidirectional field that, if you think about a huge sphere that's expanding, that's essentially what the waveform pattern looks like.
Oh, that's cool. So it's putting frequencies into the body, and then how does that work in relation to electromagnetic field that's coming in the walls and the windows through a cell phone tower down the street?
Yeah, so the cell repeaters and Wi-Fi and all this electromagnetic radiation in the environment, people mistakenly think that this is somehow going to act like a shield and block the radiation and make it not appear on any kind of tri-field meter or any measuring device. And that's simply not the case. It's more of an energy medicine, so to speak, where it's stimulating the bodies at the cellular level to create a cellular response to make all the individual cells much stronger and more able to adapt to the EMF stressors. So that's number one on the physical or the somatic level, where the body is experiencing a decrease in stress from electromagnetic fields.
If you're interested, you can click on the Blue Shield ad on the front page of One Radio Network. Use promo code One Radio, or also contact Brandon through his website there when you click, and he'll give you more information. Front page, Blue Shield EMF protection device on OneRadioNetwork.com. Pretty groovy, 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 pretty groovy. It's about 22 minutes after the hour. In case you're lost, September 4, 2018. Adam Brooks from Yes, No, Maybe Chronobiotic Nutrition. Adam, your SunSync Nutrition is the website where you pay 99 buckaroonies, right? And
99 buckaroonies, yep. Mm-hmm.
And then that's a lifetime thing. And what kind of good stuff do people get when they join up there?
I've got all kinds of extensive blogs. We have, you can get to find your exact timing by figuring that out. There's all the food lists are listed on what food to eat at what time, and a variety of other things. Lots of features on it.
And then what's on solar timing? That's where you have most of your books. The e-books were like 10 bucks and stuff like that, right?
Including, we just added last night, a metabolic personality test, testing your parasympathetic versus your sympathetic body types.
Oh.
And again, you should be rebalanced. Basically, the northern persons are more parasympathetic and the southern people are more sympathetic, and we're mostly in temperate zone, so we're in between. You take this test of 58 questions and it tells you which type. It's a pretty accurate test of which types. It's actually the first person that put out that test was William Kelly.
Oh,
so I
yeah.
tweeted, began with his test, and then some of his ideas, most of them were accurate, but a few of them have been updated on what they know about the autonomous nervous system. I call it the cruise-o-matic nervous system. And so the test is pretty accurate. Also, I have appendices that go into my opinions about the sympathetic nervous system, but whatever system you believe in, you can find out what you are by this test. And it's only $9.99 on solarform.com.
Why is it important to know what kind of dominance you have? Does it just help you to balance?
You know, it has a lot to do with diets. Like a sympathetic type does better on a vegetable diet and a parasympathetic on a meat diet. So that becomes important. That's why Dr. Kelly invented that test in the first place to start with, his first version of the test. And so at the time, I was a vegetarian, and I was at that time didn't find that much value in the test until I started studying it and realized that sometimes the longest living people are omnivores. They eat a little bit of different things, you know. People who do nothing but all meat or all vegetables, they tend to get in trouble. Not necessarily. Look at Bear Owsley, the LSD guy that made all that LSD. He ate keto for 50 years.
Ketogenic.
Throat cancer, but you can't blame keto for that because he took a lot of chemicals. But 51 years, no vegetables, straight meat, 51 years. He was with the Grateful Dead, took a lot of drugs, but when they went out to eat, he couldn't eat often because he only ate meat. And by the way, we'll see how that guy on Game of Thrones does. The guy who plays Mountain, he's from Iceland. He eats 7 whole chickens at a meal.
See how he does, right? See if they kill him off or not. Yeah.
Yeah, he's the strongest man in the world now. He's been named in all those contests, you know, lifting giant boulders and cars and throwing cars over, things like that.
Oh, in real life or in the series?
Oh, yeah, he plays a strong man called Mountain in the Game of Thrones. I'm a Game of Thrones junkie, by the way. I love that series.
And so he just eats meat, that's it?
No, he probably eats vegetables too. Bear Owsley, the guy who came out with Owsley Blue and all those acids at the time, you know, during the hippie days, he ate for 51 years, I think it was, something like that. He was total keto, nothing but meat. So it can be done. We are omnivores. I prefer to call it omnivores. Look at Mr. Eatsall. He ate a Cessna airplane. It took him 2 years to eat the entire plane. He ate shopping carts. He ate bicycles. He ate a coffin. He ate razor blades regularly. He ate all of those. And he was digesting them. That's not supposed to be possible. They did CAT scans of him. The guy was digesting Cessnas and of 150 specimens. He ate the entire thing.
I'm kind of trying to cut down on that. You know, I can't. It's just so weird to even think about that. Oh, well.
It gives suggestion, too, I noticed when I tried it.